greetings, each one again this evening. Turn to Colossians 3. I'd like to read two verses for our beginning, for our background, for the subject this evening. It's a wonderful promise. It's a uniting factor. Colossians 3, verses 10 and 11. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Along with that, we like the thought that the Bible tells us that there will be found before the throne from every tribe and tongue and nation. The message tonight is about cultures and different cultures and some of the things that can hinder the work. You know, in the beginning, Adam and Eve were the only two humans walking this earth. And they were of the same culture, had the same background, same surroundings, same language, same thoughts, same food, and developed their habits together. One culture. They had a child or two. It was still one culture. By the time the flood came, I suspect there were variations. Because we know that some walked with God and some didn't. And that created already two cultures. At the Tower of Babel, God dispersed mankind across the globe with the change of languages. And then we got many cultures, many differences. And today, those are barriers. Those are barriers in free communication. They're barriers to understanding each other. But we see, according to this scripture, that there is a uniting factor that can bring these cultures together. It's Jesus Christ. Because finally, we are all of one blood. We are all of one beginning. And in the end, we will be together in one place with one goal. We will be in God, in Christ, and worshiping Him forever. Culture then will be put away. There will be one heavenly culture that we will all be part of. But until then, we have cultures. We want to look at that subject tonight. Specifically, the title is American Missionaries in Other Cultures. Let's look at the word culture just a little bit. Dictionary says the customary beliefs, social forms, and traits of a racial, religious, or social group. In other words, any customary way that a group has of doing something, doing anything, it becomes a norm, and that's part of their culture. Now, we don't have to leave the United States to find other cultures. There is something that we know as American culture. I'm not sure what that is. We're so diverse in America. We have everything here. There's nothing like standard American food, is there? We eat Italian, we eat Chinese, we eat Mexican, we eat whatever we want. So what's American food? We don't have a cultural food. But there's an American culture, there's Belizean culture, African culture, Romanian culture. There's every place, because of the way that they have worked together and lived together over the years, they developed habits and ways of doing things. So we say this is culture. And then in the description, it said any group, including religious or social group. So it doesn't have to be countries that divides cultures. There can be Mennonite culture. I'm sure you're all aware of that. We have our own culture, don't we? Yeah. There's Baptist culture. There's Catholic culture. all of us as people are cultural creatures. We cannot get away from that. If you lay down one culture, it's only to take up the next culture. Because we don't live, we don't operate in any group of people without becoming part of a culture. And that's not wrong. That's the way we were created. It's the way we work. And there are many differences out there. Now, anytime an unbeliever comes to the faith, he or she must change their culture. There will be some cultural changes. For instance, it might be very American culture to sit on the sofa night after night and watch TV and drink beer. American culture for some Americans. That won't do when we become part of a church culture. So cultural change is inevitable if we're going to grow and become closer to God and if we are leaving a wrong setting and coming into a right relationship with God, it will affect our cultural settings. If any of us were to join a Muslim group, we would have a culture change. It involves kneeling on a prayer mat 7 times a day, facing the east toward Mecca and saying regular ritual prayers. That's cultural. Any person coming to that faith would need to embrace the Muslim culture and many other things. If I were to join a Baptist church, I would be changing culture. I would be adapting to the ways of Southern Baptist or whatever it would be. Any group that functions in any kind of a way creates a culture. So even though we may have many churches and we might all be Americans, there's vast religious cultural differences among Americans or even among any country that has different churches, different cultures. So, back to the title, American Missionaries in Other Cultures. This isn't alone a problem, you might say, unique to Americans. It could be the English, it could be the French, it could be anybody that leaves their home culture, country, and goes somewhere else will face cultural differences. Now, that can be a negative. It can be an additional obstacle to overcome as any missionary goes anywhere and attempts to witness or to encourage Christ for these people. Because not only is there a religious culture that would need to be adapted or changed as people get right with God, but there are the smaller things that we normally think of as culture, and that is daily habits, how we live, and the things like that. Now, anytime some of you in the future may and probably will find yourself in a foreign culture, by that I mean a non-American culture, and possibly, probably, you will be there for witnessing reasons or on a mission field, whether it be short-term, long-term. And as you arrive there, it's good to have thought a little bit in advance. You probably don't realize the vast differences that exist until you experience it. I was amazed as I spent time in Romania, as I learned to know people, as I learned to appreciate brethren in the church. I was amazed how each one of us is such a product of our past and our thinking patterns and how they're governed by our past experiences and what we were taught all our life. And it gives us a certain way of thinking about any subject. Oftentimes it's not right or wrong, it's just that it's different. And as we come up against people who are different than us, we have to be careful that that is not a negative that detracts from the fact that we're trying to share the message of God and of love. And it doesn't become a barrier between us. That doesn't need to be. America is known for several things around the world that do not necessarily enhance us as missionaries, our image, as we go there and we are identified as an American. Many people know what they know of America from watching television and films. So the image might be of Hollywood. And what they see in movies and films, where people are always driving new cars and living a luxurious lifestyle, lots of money, and everything that goes with that. The rich image. And by most of the world's standards, Americans are very rich. So it's not only an image that they might think about you, it's an image that might be true about you. You might not consider yourself rich, but you are. By the world's standards, you are very, very well off. So that image goes with you as people look at you and identify you as an American. Money. A lot of other countries look at America as a military nation. They have bases all over the world. They're in Afghanistan, they're in Iran, they're in Iraq, they're wherever. Wherever they might be, wherever the latest conflict was. And oftentimes, there are very negative feelings and images that are brought up as they think about Americans and their military. Well, how does that affect me if I'm a missionary in a foreign country? It can be a negative. And then there's this thing of superiority. Many Americans tend to think that we do things in a good way, whether it's medical, financial, or other ways. And other cultures are just sort of backward and haven't caught on yet and are floundering in less than perfect ways of doing things. Sometimes that image of superiority, if an American feels that way and carries that with him to a foreign culture, it is a severe detriment to his witnessing. Severe detriment to his witnessing. And whereas you might feel perfectly comfortable with how things are done in America, and you would believe their medical practices and lots of other things are the best in the world, true or untrue, you might be comfortable with that thought. But your friends and neighbors in this foreign country may not think that. So it's up to us, our speech, our actions, and the things we talk about, whether or not these images of America are going to detract from our work, or if, as they get to know us and how we relate to them, they're going to see that I am not a military person. I do not brag or talk about what America has achieved or what America is doing in the world. If I'm a true non-resistant Christian, they will learn that I let the military be military and my Christian life doesn't fight. And I'm not here to promote those kind of things. Let's talk about God. They do that without my blessing, without my direction. It's not what I'm here for. They can accept that. But the first time you get in an argument trying to defend why America should have troops in XX country doing whatever, peacekeeping, whatever, whatever, you're losing ground. We're not here. We're not military. Be careful. American pride. Any country can have an inner good feeling about their country. And we do not go on any foreign field to promote America. We're there to promote Jesus Christ. We have to remember that in our attitudes, in our actions, in the words and thoughts that we let slip out. I've had people come up to me and start complaining about America and what they're doing and this and that. And you know, there's only one good response. I have to shrug my shoulders and, yeah, it's what they're doing. You know, that's not what I'm about. The same goes true even here in America as we witness and as we come in contact with our neighbors. Do they know us for who we say we are, or do they know us by the things we talk about and who we really are? Which I hope who we say we are and who we really are is the same thing. But sometimes, you know, we're non-resistant and we don't, of course, promote war or participate in any way. But there's still some feelings, some patriotic feelings there maybe that we're kind of happy if America came out on top on some conflict or whatever it might be. We have to be very careful with that. We are here to promote God. And in a foreign culture, it becomes more important because they are already looking and feeling certain things about you. And you will have to show them who you really are. And that those things can be put aside. Now, if we walk into that culture with the latest cameras, the latest cell phones, the latest computers, the latest everything and anything, flash these things around in front of people who are much less fortunate than you financially, what does that say? Yes, Americans are rich. I could be happy too if I would have that much to play with, that many toys. So when we go, be careful. We're not there to show off what we have. Leave some things at home. Keep them out of sight if you have to have them. Can you really see the person? Can your things be a distraction to what you want your message to be? As I've said before, we do not go to another culture to make Americans out of them. Would they come here to make us into something else? We're not there to make Americans out of anybody. There are food differences. There are gardening differences. There are medical differences. There's so many differences as we live in a foreign culture. And it can be a time of exciting, a time of learning. Reach out and learn something of the other culture. Learn to appreciate the good things that are there. We lived in Romania for quite a few years and really learned to love some of the food that Romanians serve. And even though we don't live there anymore, we still enjoy eating some of those foods. This past Christmas, my family and I enjoyed sarmales on the table. Some of you know what that is, some don't. But for us, it's good food. We are the richer for our experience in picking up some other cultural ways of doing things. You know, if we go into a foreign culture and we're just closed, and we're going to do it our way, and anything new comes along, that's ridiculous. And why do you do it like that? Well, we do it like this. So what? Just relax and do some things their way. You're there to learn. You're there to open up. If we just clam up, they will not appreciate exclusiveness. And it will not help anyone come to hear the message. And it can become a time of learning and exchanging ideas. We learn to like cabbage the way they do it. In Romania, they cut the cabbage heads, they put them in a barrel, they cover it with salt water, and they marinate it for months, and all winter long you can pull out cabbage to eat that's marinated in salt water. When we came to like that, Well, this gives a perfect opportunity to have a family over to your house. Show us how to do this. We want to make cabbage like this too. And we spend a very enjoyable evening with another family, cutting up the cabbage, taking out the stems, packing it in the barrels, the mixture that gets poured in there, and everything. It's a time of sharing. And during the time we were there, we had friends that gathered up some of our ways. Rather than all sitting around the table, we go to their house and they served us cafeteria style, the way we do sometimes at our house. They picked up an American thing. It can be a time of exchange as long as it's not forced or they feel that you have this superior way of doing things. I believe Paul was an expert at switching gears when he crossed cultural lines. And it's what we need to be able to do too. What did Paul say? When I'm with the Jews, I'm a Jew. When I'm with the Romans, I'm a Roman. That I might win them. They might feel that I'm with them. And unless we can do that, we will go to a foreign culture. We will leave again. And they will always remember maybe the American that came and how he was. We're wasting our trip if that's all that we have accomplished. We go there to respect their culture, to learn from their culture, and possibly to leave a little of ours behind. We have to be very careful that we don't offend people, and it's very easy to do. Many cultural settings and countries have things that are offensive to them. And as soon as possible, as fast as we can learn, we need to discover what those things are and never, never do that. Here in America, it would be nothing, and there it's everything. And we do very well to learn those kind of things. I read an account of one time of an individual that was in one of the Muslim countries, one of the Arab countries, and there it is very offensive to ever show the sole of your foot or point it at a person. You would never cross your legs or raise your foot up with the sole pointing at another person. It's very offensive, very offensive. You're showing him the bottom of your foot. It's like, you dog, you're dirt. This is the image that comes to them. And here's these Americans, and they're getting a business deal together with their counterparts over there. They're having negotiations on a big deal, and the American kicks off his shoes and props his feet up on the coffee table and aims the soles of his feet right at the... They rose up angrily and left the room. The deal is off. Such insulting things. We can do things like that as we go into another culture. We have to be so sensitive, and we have to learn and to be careful. In Romania, it is very cultural, traditional, that if a guest comes to your home, you serve them with something to eat or drink. It's just what you would normally do. If someone comes, you are always served. We went to, in many homes, and there is always something served to you as a guest. It's a beautiful gesture of friendship and love and extending the right hand of fellowship. But then in turn, if they come to our house, then you need to do the same thing. There's little things like that, that as you see them, you need to learn and use it to your advantage, to their advantage, to everyone's advantage, that you are not offensive. There's many holidays in Romania. I'm sure every country with any kind of religious background has days that they respect for various reasons. And it might be some religious holidays. It might be some days that... have to do with Jesus. Maybe it's the ascension. Maybe it's his, what they term to be his baptism, or various things like that. Days that you never thought about or held here in your Mennonite culture. But there it's a recognized holiday. And it would be very offensive on a day when Nobody is doing any kind of loud work to fire up the chainsaw and cut some firewood in the courtyard right next to all the neighbors. What does this American think he's doing? It's a holiday, an important holiday. Those are the kind of things that as we go somewhere and we want to be effective, we need to learn and do. Offenses will come. Sometimes, I'll give you one illustration. From what I know of medical practices, if you burn yourself, you get into cold water as soon as possible and cool off the burn. That's the way I believe, that's the way we do, and from experience, I know that that's what takes the pain first and fastest. You get into cold water as fast as possible with your hand or whatever. So here my son burns himself. My little son burns himself. And we're quick getting the hand into cold water. We're living in Moldova. And a lady is there visiting, older than us. And, of course, we should have respect for anyone older than ourselves. And her culture has told her and taught her that you put salt on a burn. Oh, you need to put salt on the burn. And here, where's the salt? And we allow her to put salt on. Well, my son commences to screaming. So I'm sorry, but right now I'm going to have to offend if it offends. But off comes the salt and back in the cold water with the hand. This is what stops the screaming. This is what stops the pain. Sorry, but right now I can't be too cultural sensitive. I have to do what I feel is best, especially when there's pain involved. So, you know, sometimes we might offend, but we should always be careful that as we're in a foreign culture, we do not offend anywhere we don't have to. Now, I've been talking about things that are not right or wrong scripturally. And in those areas, we have to be, if anything, you know, do it their way. Do it their way. If it matters, really, do it their way. Now I want to move on to the spiritual side, the spiritual applications. There are what I call cultural strengths and cultural weaknesses. In any culture you go into, you will see good points and not such good points. And anybody coming to America, I'm sure, would say the same thing. There are some good points and some not so good points. Cultural strengths and cultural weaknesses. Titus 1. There were missionaries in the island of Crete. And Paul obviously had been there. Paul left a fellow missionary there. And in verse 5 of chapter 1 of Titus, here we have Titus writing a letter back to the missionary. I believe he was a young bishop brother that he left in Crete to do the work of the church. In verse 5, he says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting." In other words, there were some things that were not accomplished. "He needed to do and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." We have a missionary in a country with a goal and a job. As we go on down a little farther, Paul gets around to reminding Titus that there are some cultural weaknesses there that he should not forget about. In verse 12, he says, "One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, 'The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies.'" This sounds very politically incorrect. he's going to get in trouble, isn't he? What if one of the Christians reads this letter? And he goes on to proclaim in verse 13, "This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith." The other side of being culturally sensitive is that when we go there, we do not accept things that are wrong because it's their culture. We don't want to disturb anything. Paul was challenging Titus not to accept the fact that lying seemed to be a common problem on the island of Crete among that culture. And he was saying, you need to challenge that. It cannot be in the church. That might be common here, but it's not to be accepted as good or normal. As we operate and work in a foreign culture, we have seen some things that can happen. I believe as I look more at mission life, I'm approving of small groups going into a country versus one family or two. I believe possibly the idea of colonization is maybe an interesting idea to look at as far as mission work is concerned. That doesn't necessarily concern us a lot tonight. But something can happen. You know the old saying, birds of a feather flock together. And if we're not careful, it's easy to spend our time, perhaps, with the other Americans that are already there, and we get together, and we talk together, and we socialize together, and the other ones will see all this Americanizing and feel left out. And that can be very detrimental, very damaging if we form a clique, so to speak, with excluding others. And it's so easy to happen. It's so easy to happen when there's a race difference. It's so easy to happen when there's any kind of a cultural difference. These are over here, and these are over here. And because they relate together, and they feel comfortable together, and you end up spending your time, and that's who you talk with. That's nothing new. It's a very old problem. The church has faced that problem since the very beginning days. Let's turn back to Acts 6. We see it sticking up its little head right there already. This thing of cliques and preferring our own, excluding others, and causing problems. And we do well to recognize that this is a tendency in ourselves to be very careful, because if you ever not only show up on a foreign mission field, but in your life, in your home church, and with anyone else that's showing interest in your church, and within your church, if you form a few close friends and exclude others, you will do a lot of damage to the work of the church and to the gospel message. Let's read this account in Acts 6. Verse 1, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied," this now included several cultural groups, "there arose a murmuring of the Cretans against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration." So we have one group grumbling about the other group because you're not doing it right, because our widows are missing out. You're not serving them. And it's us and you. And there's two distinct groups here. It names them. The Cretans were mumbling against the Hebrews. It doesn't say they thought it was happening. It says they were neglected. Notice that little detail. It actually happened. The Hebrews were bypassing the Cretan widows, according to this, and we're not giving them their share of whatever they were, the food they were handing out. Peter in Galatians 2:11. Paul says, I withstood him to his face because he withdrew himself and he wouldn't mix in anymore because the other Jews came down and all of a sudden he had an image and he was going to talk with them now and he wasn't going to eat with those anymore. What was going on? Cultural separation to where they were not mixing together as brothers. They were brothers until someone else showed up. And all of a sudden, well, we're really the brothers and they're something else. All these little things can do so much damage. And they were doing a lot of damage then, and they'll do a lot of damage today. All things we need to be aware of. But God has always called his people out of the world to form their own culture, if you will. Come ye out from among them and be ye separate. He called Abraham out. His family were idol worshipers. Come out. I have something better for you. Lot, as we know, went into a wicked culture and lost his family. Even though it grieved his own heart, even though he remained conscious, his conscience remained tender toward God, as he moved into Sodom and Gomorrah, his children married, and they became so part of that society, when it came time to leave, they couldn't leave. Israel was told very clearly as you come into the land of Canaan, do not take on the ways of these heathens around you. You are separate unto God. You have to live a different culture. You have to be separate. You may not take on their ungodly ways. And in the New Testament, we are clearly told, the verse I just quoted, 1 Corinthians 6:17, come ye out from among them and be ye separate. Romans 12:1, we're called to be a living sacrifice. Be not conformed to the world, we are told. Be not structured after their way of thinking. You need a church culture. You need a Christian culture and not the world culture. So anytime we are a missionary, be it at home, be it abroad, we are an instrument to help people change and to come into a godly culture. Because every culture out there is going to have ungodly things. And as those people become Christians, they will need to leave and come into a godly culture. No, we'll never ask the Chinese to quit eating with his chopsticks. We're not talking about that. We're talking about leaving the ways of wickedness, whether it's here in this county or whether it's in Africa or anywhere else. Anytime we don't walk hand in hand with the world around us and we practice Christian values, we create a different culture. And we have to be successful in the Christian life. Every church is a culture. We need godly culture. We need to call people out of wicked cultures into a godly culture. God calls us to do that. God calls us to live in his culture. It takes wisdom. And we should be able to decide what's important and what isn't. What is just things that will not affect our salvation or our spiritual walk in any way, and what are things that really matter? The things that don't matter, cultural differences, are fine. But in things of right and wrong, we have to leave the culture we're in and grab a better way and encourage others to the same. May the Lord help us to do that. Let's kneel for prayer.